In the book of Exodus, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, and then we'll go to Daniel, the third chapter, and I'll read verse 6, the third chapter of Daniel, verse 6. Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 5 reads, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." Daniel 3 and 6. "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." The basis of those verses this morning, we like to use a thought. God said, don't bow down. What are you going to do? God said, don't bow down. What are you going to do?
God has blessed us, and God is yet still keeping us. And it's because of the mercy and the grace of God that he's allowed us another opportunity to come together in worship and in praise. And we should not take it lightly. Just the mere fact that he woke us up this morning allowed us to call on his righteous name. Another week has come and another week has gone. And I'm sure that in most of our lives, we had some good days and we had some bad days. Had some peaceful moments and we had some moments of despair. But somebody said, through it all, we learn how to trust in Jesus. Learn how to trust him despite whatever you may have been confronted with throughout the week. God is still worthy to be praised. We got to understand this morning that we are not here by our own merits. We are here by the grace and the mercy of God. And if we're able to say this morning that we have salvation, that salvation comes from the mercy of God. It's not that we are so good. It's not that we are so special, but we are just children of a Most High King. And we serve a God that would do anything that needs to be done in our lives. We serve a God this morning that many of us have been talking to him, and we've been asking God for some things, and we're actually waiting on God to come to our rescue. We have to be encouraged and be of good courage learning how to wait on God, because it's not easy sometimes waiting on God. Oh, we use the terminology, may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. But now while you're still waiting on him to be on time, there's a time span in between there that you began to wonder and ponder, Lord, when are you coming to my rescue? And you don't have to have done anything so crazy. It's just the mere fact that a lot of times we have an impatient spirit. For when we ask God for something, we want God to come right now. We want our blessings to just happen immediately, but there's something that we got to wait on God. There's something that we got to ponder and we got to tarry, and we just got to wait and see what God is going to do. One good thing to know this morning, that if we are a believer, if we know that we are in the hands of a mighty God, then what we have to understand, that no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. If you're in the hand of a mighty God, God has promised to take care of you. God has promised to deliver you. God has promised never to leave you. Isn't it a good thing to know that you serve a God that'll be there not only in the morning when you get up, but God'll be there in the midnight hour? Isn't it a good thing to know that you serve a God that can go behind closed doors? that there are some places that we go and they say, oh, you can't come in. But God is everywhere that you go. Even when you go to the doctor's office and you have concern and love for that loved one that's going behind those closed doors and they tell you, you can't come in. But you know somebody that you can call on and say, I can't go in. But God, I want you to go in there with my loved one. I want you to let them know that they're not there all by themselves. If there ever was a time that you need to know that you got God on your side, it's when you're going through. Going through is not always sickness. Going through is not always just the mere fact that you're broke. We ought to be used to being broke by now. Why are you going to be unhappy because you don't have no money? You ought to know what it is not to have no money. Somebody said, this joy that I have, the world endeared to me, and the world can't take it away. How many of you know you don't have to have $10 to tell God thank you? You may not have money this morning to buy your medicine, but I know a doctor that got medicine. I know a doctor that got a healing hand that can reach down from the heavens and touch your feeble body. God is still the way, the truth, and the life. I'm glad to know this morning that I belong to a mighty, merciful God. A God that has promised always to be there despite all of our yesterdays and all of our failures. We have to come to grips with the fact that we are not perfect. We got to come to grips with the fact that we have some things that we need some help with. We actually need a closer walk with God. I wonder why it is that the people of God have gotten to a place where we pick and choose when we going to get up and go to God's house. We pick and choose when we want to feel good. We pick and choose when we're going to lift him all the way up. But the Bible says, quench not the Spirit of God. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We ought to be glad to come together. David said, when we come together, we ought to magnify the Lord. Exalt his name together. If we all would get on one accord and just try to lift up the name of Jesus. Don't let the devil rob you of your blessing this morning. Oh yeah, you're going through something, but don't worry about that. Does not the Bible say, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I come to tell you somebody this morning that he anoints my head with oil. It's that anointing that makes the difference. I'm just a little nobody trying to tell somebody. Too many times we done got beyond ourselves. We think that it's all about us. But the Bible that I read, the lesson that we're talking about this morning, today, tells us that God is a jealous God. Oh, we know something about jealousy. When we are jealous, we have a mindset that it's mine. So God is jealous. God said that we are his. He's possessive. He said, you don't belong to nobody else. You belong to me. He puts things in order and put things in perspective to let you know exactly who he is. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No best friends. No prayer partners. No little stash hid somewhere. God said that thou shalt have no other gods before me. That house that you live in, that carpet gonna get dirty sometime or another. But don't let that carpet be your God. Some folk can't rest at night because the floor dirty. That automobile that you were driving. Glory, hallelujah. Deacon Pittman, I remember a time when you could pay for a car in 2 years. Then you could pay for a car in 4 years. Now it takes 6 years and more. How many of you know by the time you get it paid for, it's already tore up? So it's an ongoing cycle, because after that one tear up, are you going to begin to walk, or are you going to still try to get somewhere? But if that car is your God, that man, that woman that's out there rubbing their God right now, want their God to shine because the sun coming out. God says that he is a jealous God. Oh, we love our baby, but when you put your baby before God, don't try to come telling me that's blood. I know it's blood. God knows it's blood. But it's God's blood. That child don't belong to you anymore. God bless you and let you have it, but he belonged to God. We get overly possessive. Oh, you want to make somebody mad? Say something about their children. Their children may get on their nerve, but you better not say nothing about them. If you feel that way about your child, what you think God feel about you because you are his child? And God said, don't bow down. Last Sunday, we reflected back to the days of the children of Israel. They were in bondage and in slavery. God chose Moses to be their leader and to bring them out of the land of bondage. Moses realized that I can't go in there all by myself, because when I get there, some folk in there going to want to know who sent me here. What is his name? The Bible said that he said, I am that I am. He said, thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. 17 chapters later, God realized that I done brought these people out of bondage. I done did what I told them that I was going to do. I told them that I wouldn't forsake them. I told them that I'd be there to the rescue. I came and I delivered them and I made a way out of nowhere. I showed them some miraculous things because they didn't realize how much power I had. Pharaoh thought he had all the power, but I showed Pharaoh that I am the Lord thy God. Pharaoh thought that he had all of the answers, but I showed Pharaoh who's in charge. I put all kind of plagues upon the land, and I made them realize that I am the Lord thy God. I got so much power that I got right there by the Red Sea. My children needed to get across. They say, I can't find nobody to help me get across. The enemy is pressing up behind me, and I don't know what I'm going to do. But God said, Moses, hold up. All you got to do is stretch out your rod. Don't forget whose you belong to. If you use your imagination for a moment, as you can see Moses standing there stretching out the rod, and the waters of the Red Sea split. Walked through on dry land. So now here in the 20th chapter, God realizes, I got to let these people know they can't live any kind of way, because they belong to me. And I am a jealous God. I want to let them know that there's nothing out there, there's nothing that can deliver them other than myself. God said, let me tell you something. There's going to be some conditions. I'm going to make an agreement with you. I'll tell you what I'll do. First of all, let me remind you what I've already done. I am the Lord thy God. I am the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt. I am the one that brought you from the house of bondage. And I come to tell you right now that you should not have any other gods before me. Now, I know that you have idol gods. And I heard that you've been building some graven images. But now here in the word of God, I'm telling you, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now let me tell you what I want you to do. When you recognize that I am the Lord your God, I want you to realize that thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, because I am the Lord thy God. Because I am a jealous God. And let me tell you something. I'm not going to forget your iniquities. I'm going to visit you. The iniquity upon the children, the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. So what God is telling the children of Israel is that let me make things clear. That if you don't get your house in order, if you don't learn how to love me and put me first, then your offsprings are going to be offbeat. They're not going to do things in the right order. They're not going to humble themselves before my face. They're not going to acknowledge me as the one true living God. And what's going to happen is that curse is going to go down through two or three generations before somebody can turn it around and make things better. I wonder in here this morning, is there anybody that realized that you are one of those that had to make a break? You know how it is. So many times we come up through life and folks say, you ain't going to be nothing because your daddy wasn't nothing. And I come to tell you a lie, I'm not my daddy. You don't have to allow every generation to follow you. What they did is what they did. Oh, yeah, I saw it. But I come to find out that all I got to do is have my own mind. Every man, every woman got to work out their own soul salvation. God said, don't bow down. The word of God tells us, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So, if you don't want to bow, you don't want to serve him, suit yourself. I'm going to do my thing. Young folks say, I'm going to do me. Hallelujah. That there come a time you got to do you. Because you can't nobody else believe for you. Can't nobody call on the name of Jesus for you. Can't nobody ask God to forgive you of your unrighteousness but you. Oh, yeah, we can come to the altar and we can pray for you, but until you confess with your own mouth, until you believe in your own heart that God had raised you from the dead, that then thou shalt be saved. But I come to tell somebody this morning that God said, don't bow down. God said, if you're going to trust him to be the Lord, thy living God, then you got to trust God with all of your heart. You got to know that God will make a way out of no way. I don't care what the circumstance may be. I don't care how many times they back you up against the wall. I don't care if danger come your way. If you have to die in the spirit of the Lord, you ought to be willing to die for God this morning. For I'm reminded of a story in the book of Daniel, where they tell me that a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, he created a golden image. And he said, at the sound of the music, I want everybody to bow down and worship this image. But I stopped by to tell somebody that God said, don't bow down. You got to be obedient to the word of the Lord our God. Everybody might not want to do the right thing, but you got to have your own mind. Everybody, when the music began to play, everybody began to bow down. But there were three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, They said, I will not bow down. I'm going to stand for the Lord because the Lord is on my side. I'm not going to bow down. I don't care what you say you're going to do to me. The Bible says that if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace and I'm going to get rid of you. But I come to tell somebody that these three Hebrew boys realized that they belong to a mighty God. They knew that I'm in the hand of God. And if it be so, okay, do what you got to do. But I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm going to stand because God told me not to bow down. You got to do what God said do. Don't bow down to no man. Don't bow down to no other God. But trust God as the one true living God. Don't let nobody, I don't care whether it's a king, I don't care whether it's Queen Elizabeth, I don't care whether it's President Obama, don't let nobody make you bow down. Don't let nobody get between you and your God. There's only one name. There's only one name in which you ought to bow down to. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of the things in heaven and the things in earth. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I stop by to tell somebody, don't bow down. But the question is, what are you going to do? I'm not going to bow unless it's to the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, I got to bow down. At the name of Jesus, I got to let go and let God. At the name of Jesus, I know that the Lord will make a way out of no way. At the name of Jesus, he's going to hold me. He's going to keep me. He's going to wrap me in his loving arms. And every now and again, the Lord our God, he's going to stop by your sick room. He's going to make everything. Everything is going to be all right. God said, don't bow down. But the question is, what are you going to do? These three Hebrews realized that I remember what God said. And God said that I should not serve any other gods. And I'm not going to bow down. If we could have that mindset this morning, that I don't care what you got to go through, just trust the word of God. The word of God tells us that he is a jealous God. So we got to give our all in all back to the Lord our God. I thank God for his love this morning. I thank him for the Holy Bible, where we can read examples of what God has and is able, yet even in this day and time, God is still able to deliver.